Growing up, we didn't really prioritize mental health or wellness. It wasn't really something that we talked about ever. We were always told that if something was wrong, we just moved on. You know, to not do that was seen as weak. So if something was happening, we just moved on. If something happened in the house, it stayed in the house. We didn't talk to anybody about it. If we cried, we were told to stop crying before we were given something to cry for, which just always seemed like an oxymoron to me. It wasn't until I became an adult and I started my gender affirmation journey that I started to prioritize mental health for myself. And with my gender affirmation journey, I did a physical transition. And so my first surgery was in April of 2022. And with those surgeries, you have to go to a host of therapists because they want to make sure that you are very certain with the choices that you're making for your own body. So you have to have other people say that you are sane enough to do these things to your body, which you ultimately have to pay for anyway. And so with my first surgery, I saw a bunch of therapists. They sign off on a letter. They send it to your insurance company. You have your surgery. You move on. Shortly after I had my first surgery, I scheduled my next one. And I was fully expecting just to go through the same motions, jump through the same hoops, and just move on to my next surgery. When I saw my therapist, the appointment was completely different from all my other appointments. She started the session by just talking to me, like just asking me about myself, which never happened before. They usually just jump right into the, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling? What smiley face are you? In the past 2 weeks, how many times have you thought about killing yourself? Like real light stuff to start off the appointment. But she just actually asked me about me as a person. And I was so thrown off that I just was vulnerable with her, which is hard to do in therapy. And after we started talking about myself, we got into the other things, about my transition and what I saw for my life. And she seemed just really invested in what I wanted to do. And it made me invested in the time that we were spending together. And as we talked some more, I started to open up and tell her things that I probably had said before in therapy, but nobody had really listened. And I told her about my depression and how soul-sucking it can be and how it just feels like a bottomless pit, so much so that I don't even see the point of getting out of the bed in the morning. But that's not all the time. So if it's 7 days in a week, maybe 4 of those days, I'm depressed. But the other 3, I feel great. I'm like a superhero. I feel like I can do anything. And just to give you some context, a typical day for me when I wasn't depressed, I would get up at like 7. I would walk the dog, make breakfast for everybody, go to the gym, come back, start some work, do some Just Dance, maybe walk the dog again, probably take the trash out, throw in a load of laundry, do some more work, cook some dinner, take the laundry out, fold it, put all the laundry away, walk the dog again, and maybe get in another workout before my day was over. And then I would have 4 hours of sleep and wake up and do it all over again. And then that would be the 3 days, and then I would go back into depression. And I had said these things before, but no one was listening to me when I said it. And when I explained this to my therapist, she asked me if I had ever heard of bipolar depression. And I told her, yes, but that is not what I have. I have seen that in TV and movies, and that is not me. And then she asked me if I had ever heard of bipolar disorder type 2. And I told her no. And she said, with type 2, it's a little bit different from type 1. It's much milder in your manic stage. And I was still in denial about it because there's not a lot of representation of this outside of what you see on TV or what you might see in movies. But especially in like the Black community, we don't talk about mental health that often. And as soon as she put that diagnosis or potential diagnosis in front of me, I immediately felt isolated, because who was I gonna talk to about that? Who was gonna show me what I was supposed to do with this new thing on top of being trans, on top of being queer, on top of being Black? Who was gonna help me with that? And so we wrapped our appointment. She gave me a referral to see a psychiatrist to potentially discuss like medicine and get an actual diagnosis. And so when I saw the psychiatrist, I was hopeful because he was Black and queer. And I've never had a Black therapist, and I've never had a queer therapist, and definitely never had them together. And so as soon as I went into the appointment, I immediately saw a reflection of myself. And he also had like Marvel posters on the wall, which was a big selling point for me. And so we started our appointment by talking about comic books and DC versus Marvel and things like that. And so it put me at ease. And then we got into the hard stuff. And as soon as it switched, I put up my walls. And I think he realized that because he took out the smiley faces. And he asked me what smiley face I was that day. And so I told him like the most intense one, because I just wanted to get out of the appointment. And then he asked me something I had never been asked in therapy before. How often was I depressed during the week? How many days during the week was I actually depressed? And it's like a light bulb went off, because I was just like, no one has ever asked me that. They automatically just assume that I'm depressed 100% of the time. And so as we talked, I think he could still tell that I was in disbelief. So he took out the DSM-5 and was just like, let's look at this together. And so he flipped to the page that talks all about bipolar disorder type 2. And he said, on this list of 7 items, how many do you have? And so I started going down the list and I said, I have 1, and I have 2, and I have 3. Actually, I have 1 through 7 now that we talk about it. And, you know, that, like, you would think that that was a clear indicator that this is what I have. And I was just like, well, it could be other things. And so he still was willing to work with me, even though I was really on the fence about it. And he said, how about you take this information and you read it, and I can offer you some medicine, or you can come back and get it. And I told him, I know myself. If you don't give me this prescription today, I'm never going to take this medicine. And so he wrote me my prescription. And I left his office feeling a couple things. One, I felt seen. I felt like out of all of my history of therapy, he's the first person to actually see me. And I felt heard. And I also felt like I really wasn't going to take that medicine. And so we went to go get the prescription filled, and it was delayed. And I was just like, well, this is a sign from God. I don't need to be taking these pills. But then they eventually filled it. And so we went home, and I sat the pills in my windowsill. And he told me to take it at night because it makes you sleepy. And I was like, all right, well, I'll take it at night. And then I didn't take it. And then the next night came, and I was like, well, I'll take it at night. But then it got, like, late, and so I didn't take it. And then the next night came, and I was like, well, tonight is the night. But then it was like raining, so I was just like, maybe not tonight. Let's just try again tomorrow. And so that was like 3 days of me not taking it. And so I was just casually talking to my wife, and I was like, you know, I haven't taken that medicine yet. And she was like, that's okay, you're gonna take it tonight though. And she stood there while I took the medicine. And I'm actually, like, really glad that I did, because as soon as the medicine started working in my system, I felt completely different. I had a huge worry that I was going to be somebody other than myself once I started the medicine, and that would be bad. But it turns out that I'm actually the very best version of myself with my medicine. With my depression before, it just felt like I was inside of a glass box, watching this person that looked like me and sound like me just live my life and make all of the wrong choices and say all of the wrong things, but I couldn't do anything to stop them. And then once those 4 days was up, somebody let me out of the box, and I could try to fix all of those things that I had done wrong, but only for the 3 days. And then I was right back in the box. But with the medicine, I just felt even, just like fine. So much so that I asked my wife, like, so you just sit on the couch and you just feel fine? Like, not depressed or worked up or anything? Like, you can just watch this movie and just be okay? And she was like, yes. Welcome to the world. And then I asked my therapist, because I didn't believe her. I asked my therapist, I said, are people just not depressed? Like, people are just okay. Like, you get sad a little bit, but you're just living your life, just being fine. And he was like, yes. But it was conflicting for me, because depression had felt like a part of my identity. It felt like who I was, because I was depressed pretty much my entire life. And so I didn't know who I was without this depression. But I knew that I wanted to find out. And I'm so very glad that I started my gender affirmation journey, because without it, I would have never gotten this diagnosis that I have today. And now I'm actively trying to do things different from what my family did for me. And I'm trying to model that behavior for my son and for my family. Because you don't have to be perfect, and I need him to know that. You don't have to be a superhero all bright and shiny. We all have cracks and imperfections. And it's those things that make us humans, make us who we are. And so every day I try to get up and be the best version of myself that day. Not perfect, but just my best. And I hope that is paying off. And one day I can have this conversation with him and we can share how that will help him grow as an individual. Thank you.